The Wedding, March 18, 1991. Powell's pregnancy did not completely settle the issue. Jobs again began balking at the idea of marriage, even though he had dramatically proposed to her both at the very beginning and the very end of 1990. Furious, she moved out of his house and back to her apartment. For a while, he sulked or ignored the situation. Then he thought he might still be in love with Tina Redsea. He sent her roses and tried to convince her to return to him, maybe even get married. He was not sure what he wanted, and he surprised a wide swath of friends and even acquaintances by asking them what he should do. Who was prettier, he would ask, Tina or Laureen? Who did they like better? Who should he marry? In a chapter about this in Mona Simpson's novel A Regular Guy, the Jobs character asked more than 100 people who they thought was more beautiful. But that was fiction. In reality, it was probably fewer than 100. He ended up making the right choice. As Redsea told friends, she never would have survived if she had gone back to Jobs, nor would their marriage. Even though he would pine about the spiritual nature of his connection to Redsea, he had a far more solid relationship with Powell. He liked her. He loved her. He respected her, and he was comfortable with her. He may not have seen her as mystical, but she was a sensible anchor for his life. He is the luckiest guy to have landed with Laureen, who is smart and can engage him intellectually, and can sustain his ups and downs and tempestuous personality, said Joanna Hoffman. Because she's not neurotic, Steve may feel that she is not as mystical as Tina or something, but that's silly. Andy Hertzfeld agreed. Laureen looks a lot like Tina, but she is totally different because she is tougher and armor-plated. That's why the marriage works. Jobs understood this as well. Despite his emotional turbulence and occasional meanness, the marriage would turn out to be enduring, marked by loyalty and faithfulness, overcoming the ups and downs and jangling emotional complexities it encountered. Avi Tavanian decided Jobs needed a bachelor's party. This was not as easy as it sounded. Jobs did not like to party and didn't have a gang of male buddies. He didn't even have a best man. So the party turned out to be just Tavanian and Richard Crandall, a computer science professor at Reed who had taken a leave to work at Next. Tavanian hired a limo, and when they got to Jobs' house, Powell answered the door dressed in a suit and wearing a fake mustache, saying that she wanted to come as one of the guys. It was just a joke, and soon the three bachelors, none of them drinkers, were rolling to San Francisco to see if they could pull off their own pale version of a bachelor party. Tavanian had been unable to get reservations at Green's, the vegetarian restaurant at Fort Mason that Jobs liked, so he booked a very fancy restaurant at a hotel. "I don't want to eat here," Jobs announced as soon as the bread was placed on the table. He made them get up and walk out, to the horror of Tavanian, who was not yet used to Jobs' restaurant manners. He led them to Café Jacqueline in North Beach, the soufflé place that he loved, which was indeed a better choice. Afterward, they took the limo across the Golden Gate Bridge to a bar in Sausalito, where all three ordered shots of tequila, but only sipped them. It was not great as bachelor parties go, but it was the best we could come up with for someone like Steve, and nobody else volunteered to do it, recalled Tavanian. Jobs was appreciative. He decided that he wanted Tavanian to marry his sister, Mona Simpson. Though nothing came of it, the thought was a sign of affection. Powell had fair warning of what she was getting into. As she was planning the wedding, the person who was going to do the calligraphy for the invitations came by the house to show them some options. There was no furniture for her to sit on, so she sat on the floor and laid out the samples. Jobs looked for a few minutes, then got up and left the room. They waited for him to come back, but he didn't. After a while, Powell went to find him in his room. "Get rid of her," he said. "I can't look at her stuff. It's shit." On March 18, 1991, Stephen Paul Jobs, 36, married Laureen Powell, 27, at the Awani Lodge in Yosemite National Park. Built in the 1920s, the Awani is a sprawling pile of stone, concrete, and timber designed in a style that mixed Art Deco, the arts and crafts movement, and the Park Service's love of huge fireplaces. Its best features are the views. It has floor-to-ceiling windows looking out on Half Dome and Yosemite Falls. About 50 people came, including Steve's father, Paul Jobs, and sister, Mona Simpson. She brought her fiancé, Richard Appel, a lawyer who went on to become a television comedy writer. As a writer for The Simpsons, he named Homer's mother after his wife. Jobs insisted that they all arrive by chartered bus. He wanted to control all aspects of the event. The ceremony was in the solarium, with the snow coming down hard and Glacier Point just visible in the distance. It was conducted by Jobs' longtime Soto Zen teacher, Koben Chino, who shook a stick, struck a gong, lit incense, and chanted in a mumbling manner that most guests found incomprehensible. "I thought he was drunk," said Tavanian. He wasn't. The wedding cake was in the shape of Half Dome, the granite crest at the end of Yosemite Valley, but since it was strictly vegan, devoid of eggs, milk, or any refined products, more than a few of the guests found it inedible. Afterward, they all went hiking, and Powell's three strapping brothers launched a snowball fight with lots of tackling and roughhousing. "You see, Mona," Jobs said to his sister, "Laureen is descended from Joe Namath, and we're descended from John Muir."